Shortly before sunrise, and the immortals clash with the Phokians, a deserter from the great king's camp had slipped into the hot gates. He was an Ionian, one Tiresteides, motivated, he insisted, purely by concern for his fellow Greeks. Perhaps he was. Except that there appears to have been more than a whiff of the Persian dirty tricks department about his arrival, tempting Leonidas with the hope that there might yet be the chance of a withdrawal. Which was, of course, precisely what the great king wanted him to believe. For the Greeks, if they opted to defend both ends of the hot gates against the pincer movement being deployed against them, might yet hold the pass for days. Catch them retreating on the open road, however, and the Persian cavalry would cut them to pieces. The pass would be clear, 5,000 Greek hoplites would have been eliminated from the military balance sheet, and the great king's triumph would be complete. But would Leonidas take the bait? The commander-in-chief of the Allied League, desperate not to see his whole army lost, but also pledged as a Spartan king not to abandon Thermopylae, had a third option. Once it had been confirmed that disaster could be read in the entrails of goats killed in sacrifice, he summoned the bleary-eyed leaders of the other contingents to a council of war. Confusion and alarm, not surprisingly, was general at this meeting. Leonidas, silencing the uproar, announced that it was the intention of his bodyguard to hold the breach against the enemy, no matter what was thrown against them. Then he not merely permitted, but positively ordered the main body of the army to leave, and as fast as possible, to give itself every chance of surviving to fight another day. The Thespians refused to abandon their posts. So too did the loyalist Thebans, for with their city now doomed, they had nothing to return to, save the prospect of being purged. Leonidas ordered the Helots to remain at the hot gates as well, to help the Spartans prepare for battle, to serve as light infantry, and to die in the cause of their master's freedom. Some 1,500 men in all, then, feeling the sun's first rays against their faces, trying not to let their expressions betray their emotions, watched their comrades pack up their armour, leave the camp, and head south. A fading of the sound of marching feet, a dispersal of white dust on the morning breeze, and the tiny holding force was left alone to the reek and the closeness of the pass. "Eat a good breakfast," Leonidas advised his men, "for tonight we eat in the underworld." Finally, at around 9 o'clock, Xerxes gave his generals the nod, and the colossal mass of his army began its advance. Even before they reached the pass, the stench of death, given sound by carrion flies, would have seemed to shimmer like the dust clouds and the heat. And when they entered the hot gates, they would have seen ahead of them the tangled limbs of their slaughtered fellows, bellies swollen, or else ripped apart, abdomens pale, the viscera spilled across the ground. The enemy, too, were in the open, for rather than staying behind the wall of the middle gate, as they had done during the 2 previous days' fighting, the Greeks had advanced beyond it, braced to fight, not in relays, but in a single bristling mass. For a moment, appalled by the sight of these men of bronze and blood, the great king's troops held back. Then their officers, brandishing whips, began to lash them forwards. Trapped between their own military police and the fearsome, bronze-tipped, blood-bespattered Greek phalanx, the hapless levies had little choice but to shamble forwards, to be crushed against the shield wall, or else drowned in the shallows, falling in their hundreds upon hundreds, to be sure, but also, as they did so, gradually splintering the Greek spears into matchwood. And then it was, it seems, when all the shafts had been snapped, that the Persian elite moved in for the kill. What followed was battle as the Iliad had described it, the clash of mighty champions, screams of men and cries of triumph breaking in one breath.